Welcome to Transformed by Grace, a ministry of the Berean Bible Society. Our mission is to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Pastor Kevin Sadler leads us today in a study of the Scriptures designed to transform us by God's grace. Thank you for joining us. Today's time in the Word is entitled, Walk in the Love of Christ.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. John Ortberg tells of a young man named John Gilbert. At age 5, John was diagnosed with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, a genetic, progressive, debilitating disease. At age 25, the disease claimed John's life. Every year, John lost something. One year, he lost the ability to run, so he couldn't play sports with the other kids. Another year, he could no longer walk straight, so all he could do was watch others play. He lost the ability to do all the outward things that we think of that make us human. Eventually, he even lost the ability to speak. Once he was invited to a National Football League fundraising auction. When it began, one item in particular caught John's eye, a basketball signed by the players of the Sacramento Kings professional basketball team. John was so desperately wanting that ball that when it came up for bid, he felt his hand raise up in the air. Not having the funds to participate, John's mother quickly brought it back down. They watched the bidding go up and up and up. It rose to an astounding amount compared to the value of the ball, and especially compared to the other items at the auction. Finally, a man made a bid that no one else could possibly match, and he won the prize. The man walked to the front, claimed the basketball, but instead of going back to his seat, the man walked across the room and gently placed it into the thin, small hands of the boy who had desired it so strongly. The man put that ball into hands that would never dribble a ball down a court, never throw it to a teammate, never fire it from the foul line, but those hands would cherish it for as long as they lived. It took me a moment to realize what the man had done, John later wrote. I remember hearing gasps all the room, then thunderous applause and weeping eyes. To this day, John said and wrote, I'm amazed. For those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, we've been given a gift which should truly amaze us constantly as also. It's a gift we could have never gotten for ourselves. It is a gift which was selflessly and sacrificially given with our good in view. Christ, the sinless and spotless Lamb of God, the one who knew no sin, took our sins on himself and willingly gave himself for us and died for us. He paid sin's penalty in full for us, and when we trust that he died for us and rose again, we are given the free gift of salvation. And now his amazing example of selfless sacrificial love is to guide our steps through life so that we might, like our Savior, willingly, selflessly, sacrificially give of ourselves for the good of others and walk in his love and demonstrate his love toward all people. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Paul tells believers in verse 1 to be followers of God as dear children. The word followers there in verse 1 means to pattern, to model, to mimic, to imitate. We are all part of the family of God as we've trusted Christ as our Savior, and we are the children of God. And as a child instinctively imitates their parents' actions and behavior, so as the children of God, we are to model and pattern and our actions and behavior after our Heavenly Father. When my youngest son, Tyler, was very young, he had a love-hate relationship with our lawnmower. He loved the mower, but when we fired it up, the noise of it would scare him to death. One time I was cutting the grass in the backyard when I reached the end of the house, when going back and forth on the rows, I noticed that in the front yard, Tyler was pushing his toy mower like I was. When I went forward and went and got to the other side of the house, I looked out front and there was Tyler looking at me with his push mower. He was going at the same speed. And we'd see each other at the same time at each end of the house, time after time, and row after row. and he was imitating me. Likewise, Paul wants the child of God in his daily conduct to imitate God, our Heavenly Father. Godliness is about being like God, and to be like Him, we must be imitators of Him. For some, their earthly parents may have failed them, and with all parents, we all come short in areas, and there may be things that we don't want our children to model and imitate. But God never fails. He is perfect, He is good, He is faithful, and in all ways, we should trust Him and strive to imitate and be like Him. Paul says, "Be ye therefore," in verse 1, and the therefore looks back to verse 32 of chapter 4, and we see characteristics of God in verse 32. God is kind, tender-hearted, or compassionate, and forgiving, having forgiven us all of our sin in Christ. So God is not unkind, uncaring, and unforgiving. As we imitate God, neither should we be. But as we are kind and compassionate and forgiving, we are being imitators and followers of God. As we read and learn God's Word, we learn more and more of what God is like. It is the revelation of God, of Himself to us, and in it we see the depths of His love and grace and kindness to man. In order to imitate Him, we need to know the Word of God and live by the Word. Robert C. Roberts wrote the following: "Just as a child picks up traits more or less simply by dwelling in the presence of their parents, so the Christian develops tenderheartedness, compassion, humility, forgiveness, joy, and hope through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That is, by dwelling in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ His Son through His Word and through prayer." And this means also, to a very large extent, he says, fellowshipping with a community of serious believers. Paul says we are to be followers of God as dear children. We follow God not to be accepted of Him, but because we are accepted of Him in Christ, as Ephesians 1:6 tells us. We pattern our lives after Him because we belong to Him. We are His children. We are born into a loving relationship with God the Father. And dear children means we are beloved children, the recipients of His love, the objects of His love. We've experienced His love, we are experiencing His love, and we will forever experience His love. And as God desires our behavior to model and imitate Him, our motivation to do so is out of love. Love should meet love. His love for us should be met by our love for Him and offering our lives as living sacrifices for Him. Paul's thought here is that as beloved children follow the example of their parents, so we as beloved children of God should follow Him and imitate Him. The first part of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us." The story is told about a young man who was determined to win the affection of a lady who had refused to even talk to him anymore. He decided that the way to her heart was through the mail. So he began writing her love letters. He wrote a love letter every day to this lady. 6-7 times a week she got a love letter from him. When she didn't respond, he just increased his output to 3 notes every 24 hours. In all, he wrote her more than 700 letters, and she wound up marrying the postman. God wants us to be devoted to pursue love in each step we take, God's love. Paul tells us to walk in love, as we are to be imitators of our God, so we should also walk in love, because 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. So it follows that to pattern our lives and follow Him, we should order our behavior by love. And our lives should be characterized by the love of God. So in our daily walk, when it talks about our walk, it's talking about our journey through this life as heaven-bound pilgrims through this life and through this world till we're with Him in heaven. Paul says, order your steps, conduct your lives in love. The life that is like the life of God is a life of love. As we imitate God, we are to imitate Christ, because He is God. And we are to pattern our lives after His love, as Christ also hath loved us, here Paul says in verse 2. To walk in love is to walk in Christ. The model of love is Christ. In Him, we learn what true love really is and what it really means. Christ is the supreme, the highest example of love. And He teaches us that love is for you, not for me. Verse 2 says, Christ gave Himself for us. So the Christ-like love that God would have us live out is about giving, selflessly giving ourselves for the good of others, giving our effort, our time, our resources, and ourselves to the ministry and to the Lord. You see that when Paul speaks, he's speaking of the churches of Macedonia and their financial giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But then he wrote this in verse 5 of that chapter. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Christ, out of His love, we learn here, gave Himself for us. Out of love, we are to give ourselves to the Lord and allow Him to use us in our lives for Him and to help others. Paul shows here that Christ's love is about giving, but not just giving, it's giving sacrificially. As Paul says that Christ gave Himself for us, and we learn that Christ's love is self-sacrificing. Christ gave everything. He willingly gave Himself as He laid down His life for each of us. Missionary Ben Anderson is the international director at Things to Come Mission in Indianapolis. Taught a class and shared at a chapel one time while I was a student at Berean Bible Institute in Slinger, Wisconsin. Mr. Anderson had recently been to Indonesia. At the end of his chapel time, he shared a story from his trip. He told of a certain village where there was a church planting effort underway, in spite of the fact that the village was almost entirely Muslim. One of the Indonesians, a recent convert, spoke with Ben and the president of the Grace Bible Churches in Indonesia. The man was poor, he was without shoes, estranged from his family because he had trusted Christ, and he told Ben, I want you to have my house for the church. They at first resisted and said, but that's your house, where are you going to live? The man said, I have a small goat pasture, I'll sleep by my goats. They asked him, well, why would you do this? Why would you give up your home? The man replied simply, because Jesus died for me. No sacrifice is too great to make for Christ, who gave Himself for us. Christ's love is about sacrifice. And when you think about the cross, that's what you see, as Christ willingly allowed Himself to be hit in the face over and over with both closed fists and open fists. Hands. He had his back ripped raw in his scourging. He had a crown of thorns forced down upon his head. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was struck across the head with a large stick with this crown of thorns on. In His love, Christ was crucified. He had nails driven through His hands and feet. In His love, He gave Himself for us, verse 2 says. He took our place. He faced then the wrath of God against our sins as our substitute on the cross. He sacrificially took the punishment we deserve and paid sin's penalty for us so that we might be saved from our sins, so that we might be saved from hell, and so that we might live eternally with Him. So Christ gave everything in His love for us. And as that love touches our hearts, then we too should give ourselves and be willing to give anything and everything for Him. To love as Christ loved means to be willing to make sacrifices for Him, to, like that Indonesian brother, be willing to give Him even our house and sleep by the goats if necessary, because He died for me. Richard Baxter states this, love is basic to being Christian. This is not sentimentality or effusive feelings, but good old basic love that reaches out to heal the hurt of the world. Love's simplicity is its attraction. Its transforming power is its glory. Love is practical yet transcendent. earthly yet heavenly. Love is the essence of the divine author and is to permeate the whole of our lives. Christ's love is also unconditional. Love with conditions to be met is not love. We could not earn God's love. We did not deserve God's love. Yet God loves us unconditionally. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And Christ's love extends to every single person because he died for all. Thus, as we walk in his love and we imitate that love, our love too should extend to every single person, loving unbelievers, fellow believers, all people, the world. Christ's unconditional love reaches out to the undeserving, to sinners, and his perfect love abides on his imperfect children. One commentator said this: "God loved us while we were still sinners and enemies, and he continues to love us as believers, even though we continue to sin and fall short of his perfection and glory. He loves us when we forget him, when we disobey him, when we deny him, when we fail to return his love, and when we grieve his Holy Spirit." To walk in love is to love all with an unconditional sacrificial love, even to show love to those who fail to return our love and who might grieve us and do not deserve it. Heidi Newmark tells the following: "Because of visitation to their homes and because of our open doors after school, neighborhood children kept coming to our church. Many came without parents. Some walked, some we picked up. When I went to pick up Shanna for Sunday school one week, she was crying and had blood on her dress. 'It's my Uncle Joe,' she said. I knew that her family was going through changes because of Uncle Joe and his drug addiction. Shanna had particular reason to feel bitter toward her uncle. For years, she had dreamed of owning a bicycle, and that Christmas, a donation from another church made her dream come true. Shanna rode her shiny new pink bicycle everywhere, bragged on it, polished it, and treasured it. Within a month, her uncle had sold the bike to buy drugs, an ample reason to embitter a 9-year-old. Now, on this morning, there was one more reason. Uncle Joe had come home wearing a t-shirt that read, 'Say No to Drugs.' Shanna commented innocently, 'Why don't you live by your shirt?' And he hit her across the face, causing a nosebleed. The white collar and yellow lace of her Sunday dress were a mess. Nothing else was clean and everyone else was still asleep in the home. We went to church where her teacher washed out the bloodstain. When it came time in the service for individual prayer petitions, Shanna's voice sounded bright and clear as a trumpet. 'I pray for my Uncle Joe. He needs your help, Lord. Please, Jesus, help my Uncle Joel.'" That's walking in love. Her uncle didn't deserve her love. We, in our unsaved, sinful condition, did not deserve Christ's love for us either. To unconditionally love undeserving, imperfect, failing people is Christ-like love, because that's what Christ did for us at the cross and what he continually does for us who are still undeserving, imperfect, failing people in practice. The second part of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Christ hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Paul says Christ gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. The first 5 chapters of the book of Leviticus describe 5 offerings to be offered under the law. The first 3, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering, were called sweet savor offerings. They were so because they were offered voluntarily for God. My wife likes candles. When she lights them at home, they give off a good and pleasant aroma. They make the house smell good. It's a pleasing thing when candles are burning around the home. And that's what these voluntary sweet savor offerings were to God. They were pleasing to him when they were offered in the tabernacle and the temple, because the people gave them willingly and voluntarily. The offerings, all five of them, all picture Christ. The burnt offering depicted Christ's full devotion to God, even giving his very life in obedience to the Father and to please him. The meal offering speaks of Christ's perfection of character. The peace offering depicted Christ making peace between God and man. The other two, the sin offering and the trespass offering described in Leviticus, were not sweet savor offerings to God. They were repulsive to him because they depicted Christ bearing the sin of mankind, and there is nothing sweet, there is nothing pleasant, there is nothing beautiful about sin. At the cross, when Christ took our sins on himself and was made sin for us as the sin offering, the Father had to turn away from the Son and forsake him during those 3 hours of darkness. And as it's been rightly put, the sin that put Christ to death was itself put to death, because Christ's offering and sacrifice conquered sin completely. His voluntary act of love and once for all sufficient payment for sin, it was well pleasing to God, and thus it was a sweet smelling aroma to him. Christ's death was voluntary, it was vicarious, and it was victorious. In Christ's death and sacrifice and his resurrection, sin was fully defeated on our behalf, and it fully satisfied God's justice and just demands against sin, and thus it was acceptable and a sweet aroma to God. The fact that it was said here to be a sweet-smelling savor shows how pleased, how satisfied the Father was with the Son's sacrifice. And it shows all of us that Christ and his cross is the one and only way to God, because he fully paid for sin. Walking in love, imitating love, is possible for all believers because we have God's love and his Spirit within. Romans 5:5 says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Walking in love is simply the outworking of his inward love by the Holy Spirit. So it is possible for all of us to live out this selfless, voluntary, sacrificial love when we yield to the Holy Spirit and we yield to the Word of God. Rich McLean writes, "As a general contractor, I frequently visit Home Depot. Actually, it has become one of my mission fields," he says. "I like to help people load their merchandise. Recently, I was there and was on my way to my van when I noticed a guy who realized that he had left his lights on when he was in the store. He turned them off, expecting a dead battery, and sure enough, it was dead. I jumped in my car and thought about helping them, and I thought, no, I've had a bad day. Didn't sleep well the night before, and I'm running behind schedule today. I prayed, Lord, I don't need this right now. You know that I usually would help, but Lord, not today. Let someone else do it. Yes, Lord, I know I have a set of jumper cables right behind my seat, but not today. I slipped the key into the ignition, gave it a turn, and click, click, click. I looked down to see my light switch, and it was on. Guess whose battery was dead now?" We are all imperfect on this side of heaven. We all fall short at times, and we find we always need to be more loving. As we yield to God and grow in his word and obey his word, we can become more loving and more like our Savior. Thank you for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We hope you'll join us next time when we'll continue our study of Ephesians, and we'll see how God also wants us to walk as children of light.
Are you prepared to share the message of grace with others? According to the Scriptures by Pastor Paul Sadler is a booklet of charts along with narrative that fits nicely in your Bible cover and gives a more detailed approach for those who have a knowledge of the Scriptures but fail to see Paul's apostleship and message. To order According to the Scriptures, contact Berean Bible Society at P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 5322 or call 262-255-4750 or visit online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. The Berean Bible Society was founded over 75 years ago for the sole purpose of helping believers understand and enjoy the Word of God. Our organization holds without apology to all the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and we believe that salvation is by grace through faith alone, based on the shed blood of Christ. We also emphasize the importance of proclaiming the whole counsel of God in light of the Pauline revelation. Insofar as Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, it is our firm conviction that in his epistles alone we have the doctrine, position, walk, and destiny for the church, the body of Christ, during the dispensation of grace. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand and enjoy the Bible and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ by proclaiming the whole counsel of God according to the revelation of the mystery. Our goals are to evangelize the lost, to educate the saved in rightly dividing the word of truth, to energize the life of the believer, and to encourage the local church. Our ministries include Bible conferences for the study of God's Word. Berean Bible Society's president, Pastor Kevin Sadler, and other grace speakers have spoken at many such conferences throughout the United States and Canada. The Berean Searchlight, a monthly Bible study magazine, edited by Pastor Ricky Kurth, is sent free of charge to readers in every state in more than 40 foreign countries. From our website, MP3 messages, videos, and articles are available free of charge. A wide selection of literature, CDs, and DVDs on various subjects are also available at a reasonable price. And finally, 2 minutes with the Bible and More Minutes with the Bible are sent out as daily emails. These growing ministries are carried on by the contributions of believers who desire to see others reached with the truths that have brought so much light and blessing to their own lives. Please stop by for a visit or contact Berean Bible Society by mail at P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin 53022 or call 262-255-4750. Or visit us online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.